Judges chapter 16 verses 4 to 30. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hid in the room, she called out to him, "Samson! The Philistines are upon you!" But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were all threads. Then Delilah said to Samson, "All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom, and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you made a fool of me, and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I'd become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you!" He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding corn in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to a servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines!" Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived.
We're going to be looking at and talking about this morning about Samson, and with regards to strength is weakness, and looking at that. But before we go into the text and what's been read in Judges chapter 16, just a moment ago, I feel that we need to go back in time and that we need to understand certain things and certain principles in the first instance. I just want to bring something to your attention. Do you know that God doesn't change his mind? Do you know that? Okay. God doesn't change his mind. God, whatever God has set in place, whatever God has determined, that is, so shall it be. And I want you to do this small exercise for me. Turn to the person either to your left or to your right and tell them, and look into the eyes and tell them that God hasn't changed his mind concerning you. Okay. Back some thousand of years ago, Jacob, whose name means trickster, Jacob was a con artist. We know that because of what he'd done with his brother Esau, who sold his birthright. And he fought with and wrestled with an angel, and his name was changed. And God changed his name and said, "From here on in, you will be called Israel." And this picture kind of demonstrates Jacob on his deathbed, and before he dies, he pronounces blessings and prophesies over his children, and speaking those things, as the Bible says, are not as though they are. And if you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 16 and 18? So if you've got it electronically, if you've got it, we're going to go to the Word of God. Are we there? Okay. It says there, Genesis 49 and verse 16 to 18. "Dan shall judge his people. As one of the tribes of Israel, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites a horse's heels, so that a rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord." So if you could like just visualize through the picture there that Jacob, who's Israel, sitting up in his strength as Israel, speaking prophetically, speaking into the future, seeing what is taking place spiritually in the future, is speaking to Dan. And from what we see here, in what Jacob has done, we too who have children, we too who have got grandchildren, we too should actually lay hands, we should like speak life and prophesy over our children. Yeah. And being guided by the Holy Spirit to be able to speak life into our loved ones, to the generations which are to come, to the generations that's going to go forward. And God always watches over his word to perform it, and it can never return unto him void, but it must accomplish what it set out to do. Therefore, I challenge you to think about and ponder over the words that you've had spoken concerning you and concerning your life. People who might have spoken prophetically into your life, things that might not have happened so far, things might not have come to fruition as yet. But God has not changed his mind concerning you. And even in the scripture, in the early part of Judges, I think it's about Judges 13. We see that the angel of the Lord appears to Samson's parents and prophesies that they're going to have a child. They're barren. She hasn't had any children. But the angel of the Lord tells her that she will have a child and will be a Nazarite and goes through the vows that she needs to adhere to even whilst in the womb. And I believe that the angel that appeared to Manoah and his wife was the Lord Jesus himself, simply because the name given of the angel was Wonderful. And there's only one place in scripture that I remember that the name Wonderful was being used, was in Isaiah chapter 9, with Jesus being given so many names, and Wonderful is one of them. But taking into consideration what Jacob done, I'd just like to say to you as a quick reminder that God hasn't changed his mind concerning you. He hasn't changed his mind concerning your destination, your destiny. He hasn't changed his mind concerning your purpose, nor has he changed his mind concerning your assignment. For you could have been born at any time in any era, but you're here now, and God hasn't changed his mind about you. And we need to also understand that names are very important. And the names that we give our children are important. Names speak of destiny. Names speak of purpose. And we need to understand that when we're naming our children. When we look at what Jacob blessed and prophesied over Dan as being one who'd be a viper lying by the way and sniping at the heels of horses so the horse rider falls backwards. That was like, when you look at that imagery, it's like saying, you're just my child, you're just like me, because what Jacob was as a trickster, those sort of cunningness of the viper is exactly what Dan was, and through the lineage we see Samson, and Samson himself was very much a trickster, and he loved riddles. He loved it so much that he liked to mock the Philistines, trying to make them understand that they do not have the same intellect or mentality as he has. Samson's name literally means son. It's probably difficult to actually read it. But the name means son, and it comes from the Hebrew word Shemesh, where the name Shimshon is derived. Therefore, Samson bore the name called a son and a shield. So we see Samson's name being a prophecy of who he is, who he's called to be, who he's meant to be. And in the same way as God protects Israel, Samson was a protector of Israel for his generation. And after Joshua's death, there was this power vacuum. And there was no leader as such. But what happened is that we see in the book of Judges, the people rose up to actually take that place, to take that position. So I just want to, by the show of hands, ask a question. How many of you believe that Samson was strong? Just raise your hand if you believe Samson was strong. It's not a trick question. Okay, great. He was strong. Because look at how many Philistines he slew with just the ass of the donkey's jawbone. Look what he done, we read in Judges 16, at the gates of Gaza. So he was strong. So, next question. Raise your hands if you believe Samson was weak. If you put your hands up for him being strong. okay. Yes, he was weak. He was both. But why? He was weak because he constantly was allowing the devil to use his number one weapon. Do you know what the devil's number one weapon is? Lies? Some say lies? Deceit? Okay. We'll get to that in a moment. The ancient Chinese military strategist and philosopher Sun Tzu, I don't know, some of you might have read the book, some of you might have known of the book, but he wrote the book, The Art of War. And in one part of that book, it says, to know thyself and to know thy enemy. We need to know who we are and whose we are. We need to know that we are a child of the King. We need to know what levels of authority we are in Christ. We need to know that we are seated together with him in heavenly places. We need to know that we've been bought with a price, which is the precious blood of Jesus. These are the things that we need to know and ought to know. And also what we do need to know as well is who we are fighting against, who we are up against. And as somebody said before, the devil's number one weapon is deception. Deception is the devil's number one top trump, MasterCard, key domino, whatever you want to call it. It is his number one thing that he looks to use. He used it in the Garden of Eden by saying, did God say? Posing a question to question Adam and Eve's understanding of what God has said. So with that now, the deception as being the number one, the devil only has three WMDs, three weapons of mass destruction, and he uses it to great effect. And the reason why I call them WMDs, because the devil comes, and he comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. And the thing is, whether you know it or not, whether you felt it or not, the devil doesn't like you. The devil doesn't like you. In fact, he hates you. Why? Because we're created and made in God's image. Yeah? So every time he sees us, he sees God. And what we need to do and what we need to understand is that what he's now challenged is to stop you from doing what God has called you to do, is to stop you from reaching and living out your destiny and your purpose, which God has said concerning you, because God hasn't changed his mind, because God doesn't lie, and what God has said is yea and amen. So, the weapons of mass destruction, we find that out in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And these are the three. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'll say it again. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Samson fell for all three. It's very easy for us through the corridors of time to point the finger at Samson and compose like a highlight reel of his errors and his mistakes and his weaknesses. But how many of you would have been able to be like Samson, to live like Samson, to be a Nazarite from the womb, to actually grow and to live that Nazarite vow? I think it'd be very difficult. But this is something that Samson was doing and hadn't done from birth. And he maintained that covenant. So it's no easy feat to do that. I don't know about you, but I struggle daily with my walk with God. It's not an easy thing. It's not always, you know, plain sailing. There's times I have like real questions about, you know, what's going on in my life and the life of my family. And some of you might not have that testimony. Some of you might be like really great. Some of you might be even like Jesus, cousin twice removed. I don't know. But that is not my reality. My reality is that I need to repent. I need to seek God and I need to ask God for his help. I want to just go through a quick one-on-one study and look at the ways in which God used the life of Samson. First off, he had a very short-lived marriage to his first wife, and we see that in Judges 14 and verse 3-4. Samson's parents didn't understand why he couldn't find a wife within, you know, the 12 tribes. Why he couldn't find a good Hebrew girl. But he wanted to be with a Philistine woman. But even in that, that was a root in. When we look at the prophecy of how Dan and Samson coming through the lineage of Dan was going to be used as that serpent by the path, by the way, clipping at the heels. God used that particular setup for Samson to gain access to the Philistines to then do warfare against them. And the thing with that is also, is that oftentimes what seems as being the right way or the way it should be or way things should happen isn't always God's way of doing things. And we need to be open to that. We need to be understanding of that. And we need to be able to discern what God is doing. And when you look at that marriage didn't last long. Why? Because it wasn't God's intention for him to know that Philistine woman as his wife. Because in the scripture, we know in terms of in Deuteronomy, it speaks about what should happen in terms of marriages, in terms of how they should live. And it was to, and God doesn't change his mind. That's why it was a thing whereby the marriage didn't last long. It was for him to have an inroad into the Philistines. And then when his wife and father-in-law was murdered, God used Samson again. I don't know how Samson done it, to go and find 300 foxes and tie their tails together and set those tails on fire. We've got foxes all around us. I wouldn't like to go and find a fox and get not even two of them to do that. I hate foxes. They keep me up at night. I don't know about yourself. But for Samson to do that, and God used his anger, he used his hatred at what had happened in order to burn down the Philistines' crops. But it wasn't just burning down their crops that God was dealing with. He was dealing with the God of their age. He was dealing with Dagon. And when you look at Dagon, the Philistine god, Dagon is a god of crop fertility. That's who Dagon is. The god and idol of crop fertility. And also, from Dagon, it is believed by them that Baal was his son. So you're dealing with demonic forces and idols that God wanted to destroy, that God wanted to put to shame and to naught. So therefore, God used those foxes and burnt down all the crops and all the olive groves. Everything that was growing, it was gone and burnt up. So in one attack, and how God used Samson, is that the fire took out everything and brought about an economic collapse to them as well. So, and this is the God that we serve. And whilst we look at that, and when Samson was taken by the children of Israel to the Philistines when he went out into the cave after doing that in hiding, a bit like Elisha, is that Samson asked them, are you going to kill me? They said, no, we're going to take you to the Philistines. So when he went to the Philistines, that's where he got the jawbone of the donkey and he slew about 1,000 Philistines. And then we see about the attack in Judges 16 verse 1, where he took the gates from Gaza and carried that out. That's another attack against that god Dagon. in as much as making that city vulnerable, making them see that their god Dagon cannot help them, cannot do anything for them. However, we reach to the last point where Samson brought the house down, where he brought down the house in Gaza, where they took him back to. So the thing is here, going back to WMDs, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is what caught Samson with Delilah. To look at, she was beautiful. To his flesh desiring. And the pride of life is like Samson might have thought that he looked handsome, he had all strength, he had the capability of not being stopped by anybody. His strength was always there because he had his hair. And he had his hair in seven locks. And even with that, we taught everything in scripture has meaning. And the seven locks, as Samson growing up being a Jew, would know that in numerology, seven is a number of completion and is a number of perfection. So he knew that he was walking in a perfect way, having perfected strength. No one can stop him because of his Nazarite vow, and no one could stop him because he was super strong. But one thing happened is that he got distracted. He got distracted thinking that he could do all things by himself in his own strength, in his own self-righteousness, in his own self-standing. But he knew that they that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. So even in his situation whereby he was, had his eyes gouged out, even he was taken into slavery and taken into prison, even though he was mocked, he knew who his God was. And so should we. We should know that if we know our God, then there's nothing that we cannot do. If we know our God, then we too can do great exploits. If we know our God, then what God has placed on the inside of you has to manifest. If we know our God, then all the words spoken concerning you, concerning your life, concerning your destiny, concerning your purpose, concerning what you are here to do, concerning the imprint and marking that you need to make in this earth, in this lifetime, before you meet your maker, you can do, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now is not a time to play church. This is not a time or a season to play church. This is a time to get on our knees and know who God is. Need to know who God is. Don't be distracted. That warning sign is a distraction because it doesn't tell you anything. Let's not be distracted. Let's not be taken off course of what God wants you to do. God has you here for a reason, for a purpose. When you're weak, the Bible says, then are we made strong. So is Samson's strength a weakness? Some might think, yes, it is a weakness. But from my opinion, from what I've read, from what I've studied, from what I've learnt, is that Samson's strength wasn't his weakness, because the scripture in Judges tells us that the strength was a sign of his anointing, of God's anointing on his life. The weakness came when he didn't know, wasn't aware of those weapons of mass destruction. We need to understand that we can go the same route as Samson. It's easy. We can be tempted. We could be tempted by our own flesh, our own desires. We too could go like Samson. As I say, you know, there go I, but for the grace of God. And it's God's grace and it's God's mercy. And even in the prison, I believe that what happened is that Samson was like that prodigal son. Is that he came to his senses. We've seen the parable of the prodigal son is that that son looked around at the mess he was in. And he said, no, I will go back to my father's house. Even the servants are living better than what I am. And in that prison, I believe Samson came to his senses. He became humble because without God, he is nothing. Even ourselves, without God, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. So I just want today to leave you with and for you to be reflective on a few things. Number one is like where God has brought you from and to. How is God going to use you? These are things that you need to know. Samson knew who he was because he was a Nazarite from birth. It was prophesied about him. The angels spoke. He walked with God. He had that Nazarite vow. God showed up in his strength. He wasn't like the other judges who needed the armies of Israel to fight. He'd done it all by himself. There's things that God wants you to do all by yourself, but not in your own strength. And that's where Samson fell. He believed in the latter part that it was all him. Hence, he was rolled out in front of the lords of the Philistines as a prize. Our God Dagon, our God is a superior God. Our God has brought Samson to his knees. We are now in charge of Samson. We can roll him out like he's at a circus, tease him, mock him. But as we know, God is not mocked. In that moment, we see Samson and he asks for a child to put him between the two pillars. And he prays a short prayer and asks God to give him the strength one more time. For some of you, you might need that strength one more time. Some of you are waiting for breakthroughs in your life, but you need that one more time. Because that one more time, you will succeed and have that breakthrough. The way the pillars came down, Samson slew that day more Philistines than he'd done at any other time. But it was in God's strength and not his. He didn't have much hair on his head. And it's amazing what God can do with the little. With the little. You don't need much. Some of you just need to like turn around and look in your house and look in your home. Like that woman who Elijah went to, who only had that cruse of oil, who's going to make a cake for her and her son and die. But God blessed that. What have you got in your hand? Some of you might be like Moses and have a rod. Whatever you have, whatever God has put at your disposal, use it. And God will strengthen that. And God will use that. Even in your weakest of states, God can do all things except fail. You are strong. You're not weak. Because of he who lives in you. Because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lives in you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I don't know if you could read that, but some of you might be broken in spirit, might have gone through certain things in your life up until this point, up until this moment. But broken crayon still color. Never lose your ability to color. Never lose your ability to color. Wherever you go, you bring that light. Wherever you go, you bring that color. Because God is light, and you are that light. And when light is put through a prism, that light is refracted and becomes the colors of the rainbow. You are the colors of God's rainbow. Never lose your ability to color and to be and make an effect around those people around you, those people who you come into contact with. Don't look at this being a platform whereby I'm here talking. Wherever you are is your platform. Wherever you go is your platform. And as long as you've got breath in your body, life in your body, open your mouth and God's Spirit will give you utterance to speak life, to speak to somebody who's in need of what you have, in need of what you're carrying. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the little that you had. Because with the little, God can do much. Lastly, just leave you with these two statements. I can't read it from here, it's way too small. And you might not be able to read it here either. But it says here, strength doesn't come from the physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. And that's Gandhi that said that. You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. Bob Marley. So I just want to leave you with two thoughts. Is that sometimes you're going to have to push through that barrier. And like when we're talking about Samson's strength, and he had all strength, we need to understand also that he was weak and understand how that weakness came about. And that weakness came about through those three WMDs, those three weapons of mass destruction, those three weapons that the devil always uses. And we find it in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, for lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Just before I hand it back over to Pastor Steve, I'd just like everybody to just like bow their heads and close their eyes. And I just want you to be in reflective mode. And I just want you to think about your life and think about being real with yourself and real with God about where you are. And with your eyes closed, I just want to ask this question and you can respond by raising your hands. If you're feeling weak in your body, weak in spirit, feeling that you can't go on, just raise your hand. Okay. Also, if you're or find yourself in a position like Samson and you've gone your own way and you want to get back into God's way, doing things God's way, or if you feel that you're backslidden or you're not in a place where God wants you to be, just raise your hand. Okay. And lastly, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal and indwelling Savior, just raise your hand. Okay. I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, for the hands that were raised, Lord God, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will meet them at their point of need. Dear Heavenly Father, where they're weak, Lord God, make them strong. Where they feel that they're not at the place that you want them to be, Lord God, lead and direct them where you want them to be. Prove yourself strong in their life, Lord God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that they will know you as their God, and that they will be strong, and that they will do exploits. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
If you'd like prayer, please email us using prayer@woodsidechurch.org.uk.